peeps, welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. The voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for riding with me this evening. Hey, look, folks, this is the beginning of Black History Month, 28 days of power, 28 days of glory, 28 days of history, and hopefully it'll be 28 days of activation. That's the big question. I'm going to pose the question tonight because over the past couple of days, we've heard about the State of the Union. We've heard, and we'll be talking about it this evening, the State of the State. But I wonder, what are your thoughts about the state of Black America, particularly Black Baltimore? Are you hopeful? Are you optimistic? Or are you deeply, gravely concerned? Do you feel like we are still at another crossroads where the paths are leading to more suffering, to more death? What are you thinking in terms of Black history as we celebrate Black history, Black America? And as we look at have this conversation, you know, I'm thinking about the interpretation of what Black History Month has become. Oftentimes, Black History Month, we remember those who have done great deeds, made extraordinary contributions to the greater part of society, to America, to around the world, for and around the world, global impact. But now we have gotten to this place where Black history is now more focused on tradition rather than action. And it's great that we should remember. It is absolutely important, and it's beyond, and it's also shows, that it's important for us to not just think about what we've done in the past, but how do we start to use what has happened in the past to navigate a pathway to the future? And this is the big question, because there are so many challenges that are facing us at this point. What would you believe, or what would you say is the best way for us to celebrate our history, our legacy, and in some cases, our glory, even though we are being challenged with real serious problems? Can we make history again? And most importantly, how do we get from under the thumb of oppression and tyranny? How do we get past the point of not just talking about the great ones who have been able to revolt or who have been able to overcome, but how can we get to that place where we will do just that, change the course of history, change how we have been interacting, change the dynamics of our community? So I'm going to ask the question again, and I'm hoping that you understand and you feel me on this one. But I do want to know, what is your assessment about the state of Black Baltimore? What is your assessment about the state of Black America as we celebrate Black History 2018? Very, very big time for us as we go into these 28 days. But I don't want these 28 days to just be about the past. I need to know, for me personally, I need to know, are we going to become recommitted? Are we going to become renewed in the spirit of the ancestors to do something greater? Black History Month should really be a time where we treat the month of January, where we start to have the conversation about resolutions and we're going to try something different. Why can't Black History Month be that way for us? Why can't we start a new tradition of using this 28 days, right? I was always taught it only takes 21 days to break an old, unproductive habit. But guess what? Guess how long it takes to produce a new habit? 21 days. So if we have 28 days then what can we productively do for those 28 days that will change the reality of our personal lives, of our community, and most importantly, our city? How do we make sure that the state of Black Baltimore isn't a state of slavery, suffering, and death? Isn't the state where we're constantly talking about the bad, who got shot? It doesn't become the state where our culture is that of ignorance, denial. But how do we get to the place where the state of Black Baltimore, the state of Black America, is one of achievement? It's one not just of overcoming, because I don't like to just say we will overcome. We will master. We will no longer have an issue with. I like that type of terminology. How do we get to that place? And more importantly, how do we stay there? How do we stay there? So tonight, I want to have a conversation. I'm going to be playing my sister, political analyst and TV host Angela Rye. She's got some things to say as she serves as the new host of the show, Angela Rye's State of the Union. I want to play what she had to say, which I think is absolutely important for us to consider as we have this conversation about the state of Black America, the state of Black Baltimore, and as we start to celebrate Black History Month. So that's my two cents, and I hope you're counting it. Stay with me. I want to get your calls on the other side, and we got a whole lot that we want to jump into. It's For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Give me a call at 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. We'll be right back. I do this for my culture, 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 culture. Peace and welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. We are talking about Black History Month. We're talking about the state of Black Baltimore, the state of Black America. And you heard that very powerful quote from our new Essence Quote of the Day. Talking about powerful people educating powerless people from Dr. John Henry Clark. That is so, so true. That is so, so true. Great quote to start us off in this conversation. And for every day of Black History Month, we're going to give you a dose of Essence's quote of the day to keep us inspired and, most importantly, to keep us thinking as we continue to celebrate the past, the present, and of course, navigating for the future of Black America. All right, so tonight I'm asking a question. What is your view of the state of Black Baltimore? If you say, I don't live in Baltimore, I'm checking in online at WEAA.org, that's fine. What's your view of Black America? What is your view about this right now? Because we got to make sure that we're all on the same page, because we might assume that we are all on the same page. And in reality, guess what? We aren't. We just say, you know, I don't see that happening. But as we have this conversation, a couple of things I want you to consider is, one, how do the oppressed and poor find power? That's one of the things. Like Essence said in her quote, powerful people never educate powerless people in what they need that they can use to take the power away from powerful people. So how do the oppressed and poor find power? That's a big question. But then another question is, are you hopeful? Are you hopeful about the state of Black Baltimore, or are you hopeful about the state of Black America? That will speak volumes. Let's jump to the phone line, see what you have to say. 410-319-8888. All right, we got Travis on the line. Good evening, Travis. Talk to me. You're the first one up.
It's Raj. How you doing? You know, I'm committed and dedicated to my city. I love my city. But, you know, it's a sad case of the haves and the have-nots. It seems like people are all about me, me, me.
Mm-hmm.
And not about we in the black community. I'm just going to tell the truth. You know, black Baltimore has fallen apart and it's failing.
So what would you? So you're great, Travis. I'm gonna give you a moment to certainly respond.
Okay.
What grade would you give black the state of black Baltimore if we had to give a report card right now?
I would say it's a D because look at the community.
A D.
I mean, yeah, I give it a C minus because of the
a
fact
C-.
that look at the state of the community. You know, we can't come together to start a black credit union, a bank. We can't come together to buy up residential and commercial property. And as you hear me saying, we, because it's all about we. You know, where's the black financial institutions that's going to support black media, educate the black community, finance black cultural arts festivals? Harbor Bank should be one of the number one banks that is on this station and any other black station. They should be financing AmFram and the Kuta Kinte Festival and the Baldwin County Cultural Arts. This is what they should be doing, but you don't hear them on this station. You hear them on a white TV station, but you don't hear Harbor Bank. And the black churches and the black pastors must empower people and revive their communities holistically, because the Bible, a wonderful book, has given them the directions and the instruction on what they for to do to revive their community.
Gotcha. Great piece, and I appreciate you. C-minus from Travis. Travis, thank you so much for checking in, and always thank you for listening. Dominique, what are your thoughts? What's the state of black Baltimore right now? What grade would you give us right now?
Well, it depends on what side of town you're talking about. I believe there is two Baltimores.
Mm.
You know, there is two Baltimores. There's two different experiences in Baltimore based on your economic status. You know, so if you're talking about...
So you're saying there's the two Baltimores even if you are black in Baltimore?
Yes, it is. And it is the responsibility of the black bourgeoisie to stop moving out of the city, okay, once they experience some type of success, okay? We can't expect white people to fix this issue. That's not their issue, okay, at all, okay? This is a black issue, okay? So we're going to have to do the work. We're going to have to spend the money, okay? So the responsibility is on the top 5 or 10% that have the economic power to do so.
Mm.
Okay, so that's where the responsibility lies. That's where we have to start attacking our problem, because it's like the caller said before, the violence is bred out of economic status, out of poverty.
Right.
Okay. So in order to, we got to spread the wealth around, brother.
So, are you? Here's the question, though. Here's the bigger question,
sir.
Dominique. Are you hopeful?
Am I hopeful?
Yeah. Are you hopeful about the change of black Baltimore?
Depends on the choices that right now, the choices that are being made, you know, don't seem to be, the choices are not leading this city to a path of success. The politicians, the black politicians, they are all whitewashed. They are all Uncle Remus's. Okay.
Certainly you're not hopeful in that leadership.
No, sir.
Gotcha.
I have zero faith in that leadership, and I don't want to disrespect these brothers and sisters. The only thing I'm trying to do is wake them up, because they have totally bought into satisfying white folks and white power structure. They've been bought out, okay?
Okay.
Like the caller said before, that's where our power lies, in the low-level political power to get these people, to get these Uncle Remuses out of office so that we can start affecting some real change.
Along with,
you know, putting our money together and stop buying Jordans and all kind of foolishness and stop spending money. That's one thing that we could do this month of Black History Month. People got to understand, we got to stop spending money. We should go this whole 28 days and not spend a dollar on anything other than food and things essentials. That kids might need. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
That will create an immediate change.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you on that.
I'm including the church, too. Until the church can tell us where our money is going and what community event that they can support and help thrive, we don't need to spend another dime in church. They're bleeding our communities dry.
Mm. Dominique, final question. If you had to grade the state of Black Baltimore, what grade would you give it?
Black Baltimore, that's a tough question, man. That's an interesting question because, you know, I would have to go with a different terminology. I would have to go with the state of African people in the colonies of Maryland, in the colony of Maryland. You know, it's still a colony.
Gotcha.
You know, and it depends on where you're coming from. If you have, you know, the means to care for your family, you know, you would get a decent grade. But if you don't, you would get a failing grade. You know,
right. So, hey, Dominic, you said a whole lot, something for people to chew on, marinate on. And I appreciate you for checking in. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you, brother. Peace and love.
Hey, brother, thank you. Peace and love. Man, that's heavy, boy. Woo. We're going to get into some good stuff tonight. All right, let's go back to the line, see what you have to say. I'm just asking a question. What is the state of Black Baltimore for you? Now, we talked about the State of the Union. We talked about the state of the state. But what about the state of Black Baltimore? What is the state of Black America? But I want to bring it home. Let's keep it in Baltimore. Because I know this is WEAA. We rooted in the community. We're going to keep it straight here in Baltimore. Are you hopeful? Are you hopeful? Because that says a lot. Because if you aren't as hopeful, then that means that you're not going to be quite as productive. But like Dominique said, that piece about us withholding or making the type of sacrifices, and as much as we've talked about those things, it really will take a real effort for us to make those sacrifices economically to change the reality of where we are. Let's go back to the lines, 410-319-8888. Clyde, thank you so much for checking in tonight. What are your thoughts? What's the state of Black Baltimore for you, Clyde?
You know, Raji, I don't feel hopeful, but I guess I would just have to say I'm really concerned. You know, a lot of people spoke on there are two Baltimores, and I think by profession, I get to see both sides unfold every day. And I think the things that in the past have brought African Americans to a better level, if you will, a more positive state, they're turning their backs on. You know, I know education isn't for everybody. I know skilled labor is fading or falling by the wayside, especially in Baltimore, places like Spurs Point that really made African Americans upper middle class. But I just unfortunately don't see any answers. You know, people do move out of the city when they have what they consider more money. But like your last caller was saying, when you have people who will spend $200 and $300 on a pair of tennis shoes and not really have a good mapped out plan for how you and your family are going to eat the rest of the month, that's kind of like an adult choice. And I've even posted things like this in different groups on Facebook just to get a temperature check or reaction from people. And a lot of people feel like, let me mind my business and do as I please with the money that I have, and people shouldn't be so concerned with it. So if you're in a state, let's say you, having a job, being a professional, you care about people who may not be at that place yet, they're saying, leave them alone. So in a sense, you can't want more for somebody than they want for themselves. And I think I see this in Baltimore over and over and over again.
But here's the caveat of that, and I would totally agree with you on this, Clyde, and you're absolutely right. But the caveat is our success, personal success, cannot rise above the collective success. That's the thing. Like, you might be doing well, and even I might be doing well. But if 10 or 15 other people aren't doing so well, can we really say that the people are doing well, that we as a community are doing well. No.
No, no, we cannot. But to me, I'll throw it at you in supporting you with it, not leaving you out there by yourself.
No, go ahead. Throw it at me, Clyde.
If you, say, gave a guy a temporary job that was your age and not at your level.
Yeah.
To, say, rake your leaves or shovel your snow, it would be the contribution that you could afford without going broke yourself, but that's not long term. So, you know, it might provide cigarette money or a trip across town, hopefully to a job interview, but it's like, you know, throwing shovels of snow into a furnace.
Yeah. Hey, Clyde, I'm going to let you go, but I appreciate you for saying that, and I definitely appreciate it. All right, let's see if we can get one more caller in. Phaedra, really quick, our new caller for tonight. Want to get your thoughts on this. What's your state of Black Baltimore right now, Phaedra? Phaedra? It looks like Phaedra, give us a call back because it sounds like we're having some technical issues. Raina, what are your thoughts about Black Baltimore? What would be the state of Black Baltimore for you?
I believe Black Baltimore is just like a previous call as far as two different Baltimores. But I really believe those who have a different economic status as African American, as Black, and you're giving back to your community, that's all you can do, do what you can do. And so for me, for anyone who is doing their part, that's all you can do. I mean, that's basically what you should do. Give back. Pull somebody else up. But the poor show will be with you always. We can't get rid of that. And some people just won't buy into coming up a little further, whether it's educational, social status, or what have you. But as a people, as a Black Baltimore, I have to be hopeful. I can't. There's no sense of living if we're not going to be hopeful. But we have to know, and being hopeful, that there are some that won't budge, that won't move an ounce, and keep them in prayer.
I love that. I love that. You're saying that, you know, if we shouldn't be living if we aren't hopeful. And you're absolutely right. I totally agree with that. So you wouldn't give them a grade, Raina, at this point? We can't get a grade from you?
Oh, yeah. I could give a grade. I mean, overall, I would say a C-.
A C-.
And the reason why is because enough of us who can help. I don't care what that can help someone up are not doing their part. They get out there and don't give back and forget where they came from, trying to not no longer be where they were. And that's good and that's fine and that's dandy, but not to forget where you came from or forget where you, or even know where you've never been. There's some of us, we may never been in that situation, but we've seen the disparities and what's going on, and it's nothing wrong to help. We should not be looking down on anyone.
Raina,
so
love
it. I say a C minus because we, that have the power, economics says we are mighty with the dollar. There's no longer to say, oh, we don't have the money. We as Blacks have the money to be able to be, to help lift someone up.
There you go. Raina, thank you so much for checking in tonight. And we appreciate it. You are absolutely right. All right, we got to take a quick pause. Phaedra, I'm coming right to you after we take our pause. And we're going to continue the conversation. Diane, I got you. We're asking a question. We had the State of the Union, the State of the State. What about the State of Black Baltimore? What grade would you give us right now as we kick off Black History Month here at WEAA? We're going to do our part for the next 28 days to not just inform you, not to just educate you, but to really, really, really change the trajectory of the state of Black Baltimore. Stay riding with me. It's For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community.
I do this for my culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture. Right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Tonight, we are continuing the conversation, talking about Black History Month. It is the first day of the fantastic time of the year where we honor and show our love and respect and do our part to make sure that we never forget those who's tread the path before us. We're going to talk to you because I'm asking the question, what would you say is the state of Black Baltimore? What is the state of Black Baltimore, right? And, you know, if you could offer a grade. But before we get back into the discussion, I want to play something from TV host and political analyst Angela Rye as she offers a call to action, especially at this crisis moment.
Understand, we are past partisanship now. Understand this is a matter of survival. I'm not here to debate the obvious, Trump and his supporters' bigotry, racism, xenophobia, the many ways in which they otherize us, including a strong desire to take us back to when America was allegedly its greatest in the 1950s. No, my challenge is for you, sitting at home, sitting in this audience, what will you stand up for? When is it too much? When is it too far? We've seen enough, we know enough, and we've had enough. But when will we do enough? Your silence, your lack of action is an endorsement of this hatred fueling violence. How are you going to allow someone to say we don't belong on the soil of the very country we built? This is not about them. It's about us.
That was Angela Rye, TV host, political analyst, the new host of BET's Angela Rye's State of the Union. And I love that question. When will you stand up? What will you stand up for? And when will we do enough? Let's jump back to the lines, hear what you have to say. 410-319-8888. Phaedra, thank you so much for your patience, Phaedra. What are your thoughts tonight?
Hi, Faraji. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. First of all, I do want to say I've taken a stand so much that I've changed my profession and I'm in school now going into human services and then social services.
Wonderful. Beautiful.
That's number one. And number two, I wanted to say that I would give this city a grade C.
A C. Okay.
Now, to me, it's amazing how minds just work together because today I was actually sitting down thinking about this, trying to figure out what is it about our city? Why is it so deprived? Why are these things going on? And I just wanted to say this in harmony with Dominic from earlier. He is absolutely correct. He hit the nail spot on. From what I'm seeing personally, I see a lot of us that become something or get an education. You know, we want to move away. We want to move out. And then what we do is we take our finances, we take our resources into other communities. So that's one less resource in our areas. But I was also proposing this ideal or this dream of what if all those people with all these degrees and all these finances came back into the communities that birthed them and shared their wealth with everyone, then how would that community look then? And it really just made me really think about we do need to support one another. You know, we're so quick to take our money somewhere else to say, oh, we've arrived now, so I don't have to be here. And, you know, I can go off into the county now. I can go off to Montgomery County. I can do this and I can do that. But what about the place that birthed you? What are you going to give back to that system?
Great question. Yep.
And it really had me thinking. So usually I listen to you every day.
Thank
but
you.
When I heard that topic, I was like, oh, my goodness, I have to call.
I appreciate it. And you know what, Phaedra, the points that you're making are absolutely, I think, are valid. Just because we are really at a crisis moment, right? So for those of us who have amassed, whether it's wealth or some level of notoriety or status or resources, I mean, we do have a responsibility to do something for the community. That's what we do. That's what you should do, right? And honestly, if you look at it, if you study other communities, whether it's white, Asian, Latino, if you're talking the other ethnic groups, whether it's the Jews or the Italians or whatever the case may be, you look at that model. That model has been the model for that those particular communities for many, many years. Many years. Here's the thing. That has been the model for those communities for many years because those communities had some level or some point of reference of their history and who they are. Now we have to, and we are placed that those of us living at this time right now, is being placed on our shoulders for us to reactivate that model. We know what the impact of slavery, we know what the impact of Jim Crow and those things have done. But now we're at this point where we have to reactivate the model of not just supporting one another economically, but how do we keep some level of sustainability, longevity, community legacy in place? Let's go back to the line and see what you got to say. Diane, thank you for your patience. What are your thoughts?
Hey, how you doing, Veronica?
I'm good.
I'm good. What I think of Black Baltimore, let me ask you, I'm going to tell you this, and you're going to be very surprised. Don't fall off your seat.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a B minus.
B minus.
And the reason I say this because me and you both know the mayor has some new stuff on the iron that's going to help the community as far as jobs and job training, you know. You can see it, but it hasn't reached the masses yet, right?
Right.
So you try to give it a B minus until, you know, to see what else is going to happen, you know. And you see that there are new apartment buildings being built all over Baltimore City, and a lot of them are according to your income.
Right.
So that's why I'm giving it a B minus, because people can afford it, you know. They can't say that she left them out. So I'm looking at all aspects, and then the $2.5 million that the governor is going to give to build new schools in Baltimore, that we learned about that at the town hall meeting a couple of weeks ago. So I'm just putting it, you know, where I see it at, and I can give or take, you know, from it. But I'm trying to build us up so we won't feel down so much, you know. And it can be blank, you know. Serious, let's be honest. It can put you down to the lowest part, but I'm trying to lift us up because I see somebody else writing our narrative, and that narrative is to get every black person out, met if you middle class or not, get you out of Baltimore. That's the narrative that you hear on the street. Oh, they're going to gentrify us all. Okay. So
right.
So what do we do as African American? And a couple of callers had said, we have to work together, go back to when we grew up, where we worked together. We couldn't go to the stores. I couldn't try on a clothes in the store. I had to take my clothes home. And if they didn't fit, I had to sell them to somebody in my neighborhood or hope one of my sisters could wear, because we were not allowed to take our shoes or
right.
clothes back.
Right.
So, you know, you have to go back to those things and grab hold of stuff. And like the person said, the ones that have made it come back in and give. It's not about giving money so much, but give your talent and your time that you're going to help break the cycle of poverty. And that's what a lot of people have stopped doing. And I'm going to give credit to this young guy. I call him young. He's older than me, but he's from Cherry Hill, Robert Wallace. He goes back all the time. He made it. He don't have to go back to Cherry Hill, but he goes back all the time in Cherry Hill. The people can tell you, Robert Wallace is there.
Robert Wallace.
Yes, and they don't even have to call him. He comes there and give them things.
You know what? And I'm glad you brought that up, Diane. I always appreciate your insight because here on For the Culture for the next few for the month of Black History, we're going to talk about those legends of B-More. That's right. The legends of B-More, those who are doing phenomenal work in the city of Baltimore or have done phenomenal work in the communities that you love, that you admire. So, Robert Wallace, you definitely are on the list, brother. Thank you so much for that work in Cherry Hill. All right, James, talk to me. What are your thoughts?
I can't believe what I'm hearing. Taraji.
Yes, sir.
What's the first law of nature for the man?
What, to
The self-preservation.
Self-preservation, yes, sir.
Self-preservation. Now, once man got self-preservation, he's supposed to what? Take care of his family, right?
Yep.
Okay. Now everybody keeps talking about why the people leaving the community come back and help the community. Before we get to the community, where's the family? Y'all forgot all about the family. Now you're trying to fault a man or woman for bettering themselves, and they want to move out of this environment, the broken down conditions that they didn't create. You want them to come back and put themselves in harm's way. They left so they can break the cycle, so their children won't get caught up in that and all this confusion.
Hey, you know what, James? Now, and look, let me just say this. I don't think anybody would get upset for somebody wanting to live a better life. I don't think that's the conversation. I think the conversation is more of, okay, you may have moved out, but like Diane pointed out, there are individuals who are willing to come back in and offer their time, their talent, to make their community, those communities better. And that's what
Karachi.
I think that's the core conversation.
From what I know, I know people that's doing a lot of people that's doing that, but people don't have to come back and live there. It's a difference in coming back and living there.
Gotcha.
That's what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
They can come back, but you don't tell nobody where they can live or how they can live. Because
sure.
Down here, I see generations, four and five generations of just the same thing going on. People sitting on a porch just looking at each other.
Mm.
The cycle hasn't been broken. So if a person feels as though they got a chance to leave, so that the next generation won't end up like what I'm seeing down here in Sandtown.
Yeah.
Let them go. If they choose to come back, that's fine.
James, are you hopeful about Black Baltimore?
Man, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you from my experience. Maybe just the circle that I'm in.
Yes, sir.
Right now, man, as a business owner, I'm not equipped to deal with, for my hiring practices, I'm not equipped to deal with the people that I'm running into, meaning that I got people that's homeless. I got people that's on drug addiction. I got people that owe child support. I got people can't get no license. I got people don't have no food. How can I work a man like that? I'm not equipped to deal with that. It's too much other things. I can't, Farrakh, they need full wraparound services for me to bring them in. I'm talking about I done hired thousands of people, man. They don't have the willpower. They give up fast. They don't have no hope. They don't have no drive. I can't work a man under these conditions. But let me get on the radio and you keep saying they out there. I ain't ran into them yet. And I've been hiring every darn body. It's too many. Listen, my favorite line is, your problems cannot become my problems. I can't have it, Faraji.
I understand. Hey, James.
I can't have it, man.
Hey,
I'm trying to be hopeful, man, but I'm trying to tell you as a business owner, man, it's rough, man.
James, I hear your frustration.
It's rough, man.
I know, and I appreciate you for your honesty. Thank you for checking in. I hear your frustration, James, loud and clear. I'm going to allow James' frustration, and I'm going to hear for all of my listeners, Charles, Taryn, Donald, Tony, Herbert, if y'all could share some of your thoughts about this, because James is expressing a sentiment that I think a lot of people have. Donald, you're next up. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are the condition of Black Baltimore is in bad shape.
So what grade would you give it, Donald?
Okay. But one, every time we got all these developers coming in here with hundreds of millions of dollars in projects, you're not training anybody to do those jobs.
Yeah.
Number two, every time those developers need money, where did that money come from? Out of the fund of the school system.
Right.
Which means you're not educating the kids. Every time you look, even they saying now, what is the school system doing with the money? The money goes to developers.
So are you hopeful, Donald?
If you're not funding the school system, how are you educating the kids?
You're right.
If you're not funding the school system, how are you saying these kids are getting a fast shot?
Donald, are you hopeful about Black Baltimore, the state of Black Baltimore?
I hope they do something. If you want to do something to help Black Baltimore, change the city council.
Okay. Thank you for checking in. I appreciate it. Thank you for checking in. Tony, what are your thoughts?
Hey, first of all, I'd like to say good evening to everybody.
Good evening, Tony.
All right. I grew up in Reservoir Hill area. I'm 60 years old.
Yes, sir.
And as a child, things were a lot different than they are now. Discipline was a strong part of the community, from other parents, from your parents, from elders. I remember a time up on Whitelock Street. I went up walking through the neighborhood, and the older guys were out selling drugs. They kicked me in my behind and made me get away from that area. That's the respect that they have for the youth. Nowadays, things have changed so much, it's sad. You know, there's no discipline, there's no respect, there's no nothing anymore, it seems like. It's like a hopeless cause, but there's hope. You know, but first of all, the first thing I think we need to do is to clean up our own house before we can blame fault on any race of people or anybody. We are our worst enemies. Mm-hmm. You know, you got the youth around here killing each other like left and right, and it's sad for no reason. And the parents sit back and do nothing. I think discipline starts at home. I think that some of these parents that have these youths out here that's committing these crimes should be held accountable. Everybody scratching their head trying to give up a solution or to this problem or a resolution or some kind of solution to this problem. Blame the parents. Hold them accountable. Someone with those Section 8s and getting funding, federal funding to supplement their families, though, take it away from them. You know what I'm saying? You got to set an example somewhere. You know, you have to be real with this. I mean, it's going to keep going on and on and on, and it's going to get worse. Mm-hmm. You got the guys walking around the streets, their pants hanging off their behind, going into establishments, talking bad and robbing people and carrying them. That's got to stop.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that needs to be resolved. You got to put a stop to that.
All right. Hey, Tony, thank you so much for checking in. Appreciate it. Herbert, talk to me. Are you hopeful? What's your state of Black Baltimore? What grade would you give?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll put it this way. I'm not from Baltimore. I just recently moved to Baltimore. I don't live in the city.
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you, man. I like the city. I like Baltimore. But, you know, after listening to the murder rates for the past 2 years, I've been living in Baltimore for 2 years. And there's a consistency with the murder rates. And then you look at coupled with the failing educational system, the poverty level in Baltimore. 24% of people who live in Baltimore are below the poverty rate, not at, below the poverty rate. So when you add that all up, you tell me what grade we should get Baltimore.
Well, I think it depends on who you are and where in your experience right now. I'm hopeful about the city. I hear what everybody is saying, but I could not be doing the job that I'm doing if I wasn't hopeful.
Right. I mean, I'm hopeful. Well, my thing is that it's like a drug addict. At what point does a drug addict hit rock bottom for him to come back up?
Right, right. Good question.
I honestly think that Baltimore is at the state right now where they've hit rock bottom and they have no other place but to come up. I heard people say a C, a B. In my opinion, that's being very generous. I don't think that's being a realistic grade level. You just said that Baltimore is in a crisis level. How can you say that Baltimore is in a crisis level state, but yet someone come on and say, well, I'll give Baltimore a C or a B? That's being generous. I mean, that's not being realistic. I mean, you know, I love this place. There's a lot of potential in the city of Baltimore, but I think there's a mindset within Baltimore, the young ones who are shooting themselves up and being unruly and disrespectful. It's a mindset that has to be changed, man.
There you
That's
go.
That's my opinion. Like,
hey, Herbert, I got to let you go, but I appreciate you for checking in. I love that point, though. It's all about the mindset. All right, I'm going to try to get Charles, Taryn, Clarence, Mildred, Ronnie in before we take our next break. Let's talk to Taryn. Taryn, what are your thoughts? What's your state of Black Baltimore?
Yes, hello. I would like to chime in very quickly on Dominique and Phaedra. If one was blessed to be able to purchase and live in one of these plush homes out of Baltimore City, that's a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, in my opinion, one needs to work extra hard because of the blessing by giving back to the city where you grew up, where you went to school. Also, with the college graduates that lived in other cities, stayed here, that I went to school at Morgan with a lot who made it. When they were in school 4, 6, some 7 years, then they left, didn't come back. When you spent a lot of time here, people need to come back, and that's my opinion.
Taryn, thank you so much for checking in. Charles, talk to me. What are your thoughts? Charles? All right, Charles, we're going to try to get back to you. Clarence, what do you have to say? What's your state of Black Baltimore, Clarence?
What my opinion on the outcome of it all will be, I'm just throwing it at you because I know that from your background, you'll understand it. That pendulum is swinging, and it depends on where it's in a positive direction or a negative direction. Our thing is to recognize the fact that our enemies are working within. They look like us because they are going along with what is being presented before them. They are sacrificing a certain portion of our community. And this is done willfully. You know, it's with forethought. And those people that I'm talking about, they will not stand down. Someone said on Dr. K's show that Black folks don't have the ability to elect the president. We don't have the numbers. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about standing down until you put something in front of me that is presentable to all of my people, not just an elite class who really don't make up the majority of Black people.
Mm.
They're not the majority of Black people. So what is acceptable to them may not be acceptable to us. So when I say stand down, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying not to participate in the political process at all. I'm saying, no, that's not acceptable to me. And I mean that. I'm not going along with what you five people want, you know, and the rest of us thousand over here are objecting to.
Mm.
No, I have no political ideology. My political ideology is what serves my people, Black people like me. And that other thing out there that they involved with, that's not that.
I hear that, Clarence.
It ain't going to work. Thanks for Roger.
Hey, you're welcome, Clarence. I always appreciate it. Ronnie, let's take our next first-time caller. Ronnie, thank you so much for checking in. What are your thoughts on the state of Black Baltimore?
Man, I'm hopeful of Black Baltimore, man. And I feel like if you're not, you're part of the problem, man.
Mm.
Straight up, man. That's just a straight-up comment, man. You know what I mean? Keep it short and sweet.
Yeah. I mean, brother, I mean, it sounds like you're a young man.
Yeah. I'm 31 years old, man.
Got you.
I'll be 32 this year, man. And, you know, just basically, like I said, just stay hopeful, man. You know, these young kids, they need us, man. These young kids definitely need us, man. I feel like, you know, sometimes when we get, you know, a certain amount of money or, you know, we move to the county, we don't share information. We need to start sharing more information with each other. That's how I feel, man. So just stay hopeful, man. I want all y'all to stay hopeful.
I appreciate that. Hey, Ronnie, thank you so much for checking in. Look, folks, we got to take a quick pause. I'm going to come back to the conversation on the second hour. I got to. You making me to. Tom, Leo, Mike, Mildred, Willow, we got you. Stay holding, stay riding with me, because we're going to come back to this as we continue to talk about Black History Month, the state of Black Baltimore. What grade would you give? We're going to talk about it. I want to hear what your thoughts are. More importantly, are you hopeful? Because that's what it is. Because without that hope, like President Barack Obama said, that audacity of hope, you don't have the audacity, the wherewithal, the courage to be hopeful at a moment like this, then we got to check some other stuff. We got to check other things with you. Stay riding with me. Whole lot more great conversation on the other side for the next 60 of For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community. We'll be right back.